Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome, hour number two of the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We are indeed live in studio on this first Friday post New Year's. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I am going to do everything I can to get as much of the information out to you in hour number two. I've got probably seven or eight stories I want to share with you, a couple of commentaries. In fact, I'm going to take a call and it will set up the National Review. The editors of the National Review posted a commentary just a couple of months ago. It's entitled Good Riddance, Dr. Fauci. I want to read it to you. But let's talk to Bob in Hollywood. Bob, you're on the Frank Sontag Show, 790 KBC. Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob. Hi, Bob.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello, you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I just want to say and listen to your program that as far as I'm reading these things and factual, I think the most of the people that died from the disease were people that were not vaccinated, contrary to what you're saying here, and there are people that have side effects from the vaccination. Well, let's not go on a war path here, because I think there are wits about us.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your source that you quote to say the majority of people that died were unvaccinated, because I just, as you spoke, Googled vaccinated versus unvaccinated COVID. The most first two stories that just popped up recently. Why do vaccinated people represent most COVID-19 deaths right now? Another story right below it. More vaccinated than unvaccinated died from COVID-19 recently. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I don't know what you're talking about either. I'm wondering where we're getting our information.
I just went on Google. I mean, I don't even trust Google for the most part.
Well, then why are you believing it?
Okay. You can be argumentative. I'm just telling you.
I'm not being argumentative. I'm saying question. Let's question. We want to know the facts and the truth, don't we?
So share a fact with me. You say more people that were unvaccinated die. What is
I'm
your
not
source?
Saying I think that.
What
that's
is your
what
source?
I'm hearing from, okay, I listen to many programs. I don't study these things, but people that are that I respect this is the claim we're getting. I don't think everybody's crooked in this thing. There are people that are coming out with facts and the truth.
Okay, that's fantastic. But
I'm listening to you.
I'm just asking you to quote one source. Who?
Well, I listen a lot to a scholarly person who keeps very much on top of things. That would be Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Institute, a reputable think tank, I think more so than any of them.
Okay. Anybody else?
You know, well, that's my major source.
Okay, so one entity, one source that you respect, obviously, says quite the opposite from what it seems more and more information is being brought to the public. I'm all for information.
I am too. I have one problem. I have a great dislike of communism and the left, and I think it's important to expose them who they are. But I'm having a harder time with the conservatives. I don't consider conservatives anymore, and I agree with the Institute. I think they're becoming a little way out there, and I think this may be, I'm sorry to say, this may be a ploy for power loss. I'm sorry. I question the Republican Party now. I'm sorry.
But the Republican Party is not the one espousing this particular part of the story. These are medical experts. These are journals. Okay. These are very reputable internet sources. I can quote a bunch if you want. But I mean,
no, and I think the Ayn Rand Institute gives you, as far as I'm
the Ayn Rand Institute.
I'm saying Yaron Brook has presented, does his research.
Great.
I respect his research.
Fantastic. Good. People can find out for themselves.
We want to find out the truth. I'm with you.
Good.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Yeah, we both agree. It's all about truth. A couple of sources you may want to look into. Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Peter McCullough. In fact, here's one. Highwire recently did a series of exposés on the COVID shots. And they posted much information that was both fascinating and shocking about what contained in a lot of the vials. In fact, a recent laboratory investigation revealed the only consistent thing about COVID shots are their inconsistency. No quality control. Some appear clear like saline, while others are loaded with contaminants. In August of 2021, Japan rejected 1.6 million doses of Moderna's mRNA shot due to contamination. Last year, the European Medicines Agency also expressed concern over vials that were only 50 to 55% pure. The vials also contain massively inconsistent amounts of polyethylene glycol, PEG, which can cause anaphylactic shock in some people. PEG also gets in the way of proper immune response. According to Dr. Ryan Cole, a pathologist, what looks like microchips or nanotechnology in the liquid are actually stacked cholesterol, sugar, and salt crystals, and what has been described as parasites or stellar trichons found on the bottom of the leaves. They're likely a contaminant picked up some point during the lab investigation. I mean, there's a lot of information. If you want to go to your one source, I have no problem with that. I happen to try to go to a lot of sources. So let me read the National Review's commentary on Anthony Fauci. I would have liked to have heard your thoughts on Anthony Fauci, but let me read it as quickly as I can before break. The editors of the National Review posted this commentary a few months ago in anticipation of Anthony Fauci stepping down. It's entitled, Good Riddance, Dr. Fauci. Perhaps what's most frustrating about the final years of Dr. Anthony Fauci's career in government service is that it didn't have to end this way. Fauci undoubtedly brought a great deal of intellect, dedication, compassion, and hard-earned experience to his career in public health, and the controversies of past years should not obscure that. So they give him a bone right out of the gate. But once the COVID-19 pandemic turned Fauci into a celebrity, complete with his own prayer candles, action figures, and associated merchandising, it was as if his worst instincts were unchained. Fauci's public statements grew more strident and his dismissal of his critics more arrogant. By November of 2021, Fauci started contending that he had become the walking and talking embodiment of science itself, saying, quote, it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science, end quote. No doubt Fauci attracted more than his share of unhinged criticism, but the national media loved to focus on the unhinged conspiracy theorists and garden variety nut jobs and death threats against Fauci because it helped discredit the much fairer, much more legitimate questioning of Fauci's advice and decision making. By the way, I think the mainstream media is a propaganda arm. That's what they've turned into. One of Fauci's first pieces of advice during the pandemic, you may remember, was to discourage Americans from wearing masks. March 8th interview with 60 Minutes, he went on about masks don't do anything. Then he backtracked. The problem isn't that Fauci changed his mind as masks became more widely available. It's that he never really addressed his previous declarations that they were ineffective. Declarations that apparently he didn't believe. Fauci didn't create the anti-masking sentiment in American life, but his quick reversal fed the suspicion that wearing masks was more about public perceptions than empirical evidence. I'm reading the National Review comments by all the editors about Anthony Fauci stepping down. I continue. Those who were paying close attention noticed that Fauci kept shifting his assessment of the percentage needed to reach herd immunity from the virus. Remember 2 weeks to flatten a curve? Oh, goodness. In December 2020, Fauci admitted to the New York Times that he finessed his public statements based on what he felt the public was ready to hear. Ish. Now discovered Fauci's emails suggested that he had a symbiotic relationship with adoring reporters. Do you think? He offered evasive answers about U.S. taxpayer money financing gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. He offered a full-throated defense of gain-of-function research, which looks a little different in the aftermath of a global pandemic that killed millions of people. With Fauci, a discerning audience grew to doubt they were getting the full truth, as opposed to what he felt the country should hear at any given moment. Wait a few weeks, Fauci may well conclude the country needed to hear a different message. As our Michael Brendan Daugherty, that's from the National Review, laid out in a cover piece in May 2021, quote, whatever Fauci's prior career achievements, he has shown in the COVID-19 pandemic that he is not the disinterested expert he claims to be. He survives in Washington not just because he launders politics through science and has an affable demeanor, but because he's also a cutthroat in the media game. Even when his critics are right, they get cashiered, Fauci wins more public accolades. Fauci wasn't single-handedly responsible for all the federal and state government's failings during the pandemic, but considering his gargantuan public reputation and ubiquitous media presence, he could have done more to point out that participating in a protest over George Floyd was no less or more dangerous than any other outdoor activity in the summer of 2020, or push for the reopening of public schools earlier, or rebuke stupid examples of pandemic preparation theater, such as outdoor mask mandates, declarations that visiting the beach was a life-threatening risk. Remember that one? The arrest of a paddleboarder off the coast of Malibu? Finally, we've heard altogether too much from Fauci during the last 3 years, National Review says, which is partly his fault. And here's the bottom line, partly that of our country's felt need for a scientist who can play the role of an oracle. When we hear from him next, let it be at a House hearing about reforming public health. Amen to that. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Are you hip to the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab? It's important information. You may go, ugh, it's so dark. Hey, these folks are trying to control the world. What did Klaus Schwab say recently about you and your right to own a home or a car? Well, if you don't know, you should know. 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. I gave out my email address, and we've been doing this program for about 6 months. I have never seen the amount of emails in my inbox than I have right now. So unless it's one person just flooding the inbox, that must mean something's happening on the show. I don't know. But I went to break and I saw 26 emails and I'm like, what's going on? So I'll try to get your email as soon as I can. Part of the conversation previously about facts, vaccinated, unvaccinated, just let me give you just information. A top German virologist, again, consider the source. It's just information, has declared that the COVID-19 pandemic is over, saying the virus has moved into the endemic phase. Dr. Christian Drosten, quote, we're experiencing the first endemic wave of SARS-CoV-2 this winter. In my estimation, the pandemic is over, end quote. Drosten said that after the 2022-23 winter, the population will have broad immunity, says the virus will have little chance to spread during the coming summer. And you can rest assured that's not what we're going to be hearing from the media. Also, in California, Assembly Bill 2098 is now law, which allows doctors to face discipline for spreading so-called misinformation or disinformation about COVID-19. Including information about vaccine effectiveness, other treatments, categorizes such as unprofessional conduct. Physicians and surgeons are regulated by the medical board under current law. The board is required to act against any licensed doctor who is charged with unprofessional conduct. Man, the crackdown is happening. It's disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, for me, the top of the list is a man named Klaus Schwab. This man is reprehensible. This man is evil. The World Economic Forum, he started it, he's the head of it, has declared that people have no right to own their own car and can instead, quote, walk or share, end quote. According to the WEF, far too many people own their own vehicles and the situation must be corrected by pricing them out of the market. Thousands of private jets fly into Davos every year. The next World Economic Forum is next week. I think it's the 16th. You know, these hypocrites and these elites fly their private jets and then they tell average people, no, you have to watch your carbon footprint. The way of the future is electric. It's just plain insidious. Thousands fly their private jets into Davos, but Klaus Schwab, ordinary people aren't allowed to own their own car. In a paper published by the World Economic Forum, the Davos elites claim that communal sharing of cars must become part of what they call a circular approach in order to reduce global demands for precious metals and fossil fuels. The end of private ownership is essential, they said. Can be applied to everything from cars to private homes and even citywide design principles. Quote, a design process that focuses on fulfilling the underlying need instead of designing for product purchasing is fundamental to this transition. This is the mindset needed to redesign cities to reduce private vehicles and other usages, end quote. Part of the circular approach appears to be driving already sky-high gas prices even higher. In an article published earlier this month, I mean, they just published this stuff. They're so arrogant. The WEF issued a call to its legion of young global leaders, stating that gas prices worldwide are not high enough, as though ordinary people aren't suffering enough pain at the gas pump. Klaus Schwab claims the current prices are severely, quote, underpriced. The WEF article is complicated and disingenuous, but it basically calls for an end to any and all tax credits for oil, gas, and coal production, along with higher taxes. Here's part of the WEF article. I'm quoting directly. First, leading democracies should agree to end the underpricing of fossil fuels, which is the principal factor preventing a clean energy transition. The leading democracies of the G20 should collectively commit to phasing out cost and tax breaks for the production and consumption of fossil fuels. Transitioning to green energy is key to both tackling climate change and creating sustainable economies. You're right. Key point in Klaus Schwab's latest proclamation is that fossil fuels are presently underpriced. Of course, U.S. consumers are presently paying the market price for these fuels. Apparently, the market price is too low for the WEF, which leads to a bigger question: how long, weeks, days, months, before we see the Biden administration take regulatory action to comply with the WEF edict? By the way, if you were one of many, if you're on Twitter that put your little Ukrainian flag up or on your social media talked about, you know, I support Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky has announced he's going to join the World Economic Forum in Davos, and he's signing with BlackRock. This guy is as corrupt as they come. And we keep hearing in the media, oh, this is wonderful. Now, for the record, clearly, I'm against Russia's incursion into Ukraine. Russia is evil, too. But if you think Ukraine is some democracy, or they're legitimate, or they're not filled with corruption and Zelenko is the puppet, I don't know what to tell you. But we keep giving them, you know, obscene amounts of money, no problem. They got to protect their borders. We won't even protect our own. Let me also finish to give you a little more insight into what happens at the World Economic Forum meetings. Now, normally they meet in Davos in January, which they're going to do shortly. But they also meet in China. We're all aware by now Klaus Schwab and the WEF has been conducting their annual meetings in Davos Kloster, Switzerland for years and years. It's well documented. What you may not know is that the WEF has expanding the meetings and gatherings now firmly planted an alternate meeting location straight into the heart of the CCP and into mainland China. Yep. WEF has one firm foot planted in the West, the other planted in the East, strengthening their stance with two pillars to further execute the rapid globalist plan for absolute control of mankind. Change of scenery afforded by beautiful landscape of Switzerland has drawn droves of CCP officials over the years when the WEF gathers for their annual winter meeting in Davos. But now CCP officials can enjoy being the hosts in their own backyard during the summer. A year before the pandemic was declared, Bangladesh's Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina joined the annual meeting of the what's called the New Champions in 2019 of the World Economic Forum. That three-day annual meeting was held in July. The theme, Leadership 4.0, Succeeding in a New Era of Globalization. The four main themes, using 5G responsibly, climate change, the next financial crisis, rethinking capitalism and how to tax global business, and accelerating the clean tech transition. It's all about the scam of global warming. If you've never heard my program, global warming's a scam. And I can back it up. You're welcome to call and ask me, well, how can you say that? Do you not believe in climate change? Of course I do. But not the one they're peddling, which they've been peddling for decades and decades. In other WEF news, a senior World Economic Forum official complained that the globalist organization has been receiving too much criticism and undue attention, demanding critics instead address more important issues than, quote, conspiracy theories. This has to do with the Great Reset. Quote, it really was something that was picked up by some state-sponsored disinformation actors. Took on a life of its own in some geographies, end quote. The rep from the WEF went on to claim that the Great Reset term is really just a harmless talking point created during the COVID pandemic that deserves no real attention. You're right. By the way, if you don't know, the Great Reset is a multi-pronged initiative to deindustrialize the developed world, transform the global food system by phasing out meat in favor of insects. You've probably been seeing some commercials. Develop a Chinese-style social credit score system and tightly control people's movements, all in the name of fighting climate change and preserving democracy. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and the Netherlands have closely followed the UN and the WEF's Great Reset agenda. We talked about that last hour. Likewise, French President Emmanuel Macron declared the end of abundance for citizens last month amid reports that soaring energy costs brought on by WEF's linked governments in response to Ukraine would drastically reduce people's ability to even heat their homes in the winter. Also, the country of Sri Lanka collapsed after its government forced the adoption of WEF policies reflected in its environmental social governance, which is probably why the WEF recently deleted the article bragging about a plan to transform Sri Lanka. If you think I'm making this up, you want to go to the source. You can read all about the Great Reset, which is thoroughly examined in Klaus Schwab's own book entitled COVID-19, The Great Reset. We're late, but one quick thought. I know some of this stuff is really dark and it's scary, but do not live in fear. We live in a new age. These people want to dominate the planet. And the good news is, not only is there more of us than them, but good will win out against evil. There just has to be enough of us to stand for good against evil. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. And we'll continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
AM 790 KABC. KABC News at 8:30. I'm Sharon Reardon. Good evening. Funeral services were held today for a Riverside County Sheriff's deputy who was shot and killed during a traffic stop while on duty in Harupa Valley last month. Deputy Isaiah Cordero's patrol motorcycle was displayed in front of the church in Riverside today. Law enforcement from multiple agencies locally and nationally, including the New York Police Department, arrived prior to the service to honor him. Deputy Isaiah Cordero was 32 years old when he was killed. An assault investigation reaps the seizure of a large stockpile of weapons in Studio City.
The assault with a deadly weapon allegedly happened December 29th on Wednesday. Officers from the LAPD and agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives raided a Studio City home and seized a number of rifles and guns. They also reportedly found high-capacity magazines, three suppressors, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. Two men were arrested. One briefly barricaded himself inside the home and refused to come out. He eventually gave up. Jim Roop, KABC News.
And an emotional support animal or just a real-life example of snakes on a plane? You tell me. Workers at the Tampa International Airport recently discovered a 4-foot-long boa constrictor stuffed inside a passenger's luggage. The snake was found next to a pair of shoes, a belt, and a laptop. When the bag went through the airport's X-ray machine, it did not get on the plane. The market's closed in the green. KABC SoCal weather. Clear skies for now, partly cloudy in the overnight hours, lows in the 40s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with highs in the low to mid-60s. 20% chance of rain comes back on Sunday. Currently, it's 51 degrees in Orange, 55 in El Segundo. Your voice is being heard loud and clear. Thank you for choosing us. Fast-paced, fact-based, 790 KABC. Traffic next, then stay with us for more of the Frank Sontag Show.
KABC dependable traffic right now. 14 freeway northbound near Soledad Canyon Road in Santa Clarita. Stalled car sitting in lanes for a time. Update from CHP just now clearing. Northbound 14, however, traffic extra tough all the way back to the 5 freeway interchange. West L.A., 405 freeway northbound at Santa Monica Boulevard, a stall. The carpool lane is blocked as tow trucks are being summoned. Traffic extra heavily congested as you approach the area. 5 freeway southbound at the 605 freeway interchange in Downey, a stall right in the middle of freeway lanes now clearing, but traffic extra tough. That's dependable traffic. I'm Richard Turnage, AM 790K, ABC.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-771-1300. 800-771-1300. 800-771-1300.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us. This is the Frank Sontag Show. One of my sponsors is Rejuvenu Medical Clinic, Dr. John Shea, and they excel in areas of regenerative medicine and rejuvenation procedures. In fact, I'm going in Friday to get PRP in my shoulder. They are a wonderful place. They also deal in aesthetics, like, you know, facial stuff. They run the gamut over there, and I could not be more grateful to have Dr. Shea as a friend, let alone a supporter and sponsor of this program. They're in Pasadena. Let me give you a special number if you want to maybe find out more about what they do. 626-551-4800. 626-551-4800. Rejuvenu.com, if you want to go to their website. Rejuvenu is spelled R-E-J-U-V-A-Y-O-U. Rejuvenu.com. There's two stories I want to get to. One is on purposeful people live longer. And the other is a UK woman was arrested for praying. Yeah. But let's take a couple calls and clear the board. Paul is in Northridge. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Paul. Paul, are you with us? There you are. Hi, Paul. Happy New Year.
Hi, Frank. Happy New Year. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you again.
Thank you.
I've called a couple times. And we are on the same page for 99% of what you share on the show. I'll get to the last 1%, or we don't need to even discuss that. But I learned something a long time ago about fear and what it stands for. Fear is an acronym, stands for false evidence appearing real, and F everything and run.
Yep.
One way to tell an effective lie is to mix it in with just, you bait the hook with just the slightest amount of truth.
That's right.
And then you can deceive a lot of people.
That's right.
There's an infomercial that's on TV on cable very late at night by a charlatan that runs this charlatan ministry that's all about prosperity preaching and telling people that if they sow $1,000 seed, that they will reap a bounty. They will get a harvest as the result of giving $1,000 each to his ministry. And he's very effective at it because he talks about a lot of truth that are real things. Like one thing that he says that I'll never forget is truth does not create persuasion. Repetition does.
Mm.
And we virtually never rise above and beyond our persuasions in life. This whole vaccine, I am vaccinated and boosted. I got a terrible case of COVID just recently. I believe that the main reason why the government wants to control people by fear and pushing the vaccine is because they've got their hand in the pot of these pharmaceutical industries, which is why they're pushing the vaccine rather than natural treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And I have never seen anything in my 57 and a half years like I've seen over the last 2 years of the worst president in the history of the United States. It is just unbelievable.
Paul, I have nothing to say other than thank you. And I look forward to our next conversation. And if you agree with 99% of my views, I'm stymied on that one. Even I disagree with me from time to time. Paul, God bless you. Thank you for your ability to articulate so pristinely and clearly. I'm grateful for you. God bless you. Happy New Year. Yeah, I do think a lot of it is a greed factor. And also the whole cover-up. Like, let's just pick on Pfizer for a moment, right? They're the world's biggest drug company. How many lawsuits have they settled? You know, billions of dollars where after the fact. And by the way, when all this went down, all of them were just, pardon the pun, immunized. No ability to go after them. You know, Pfizer pled guilty, I think it was, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, a little more, billions of dollars with a pain med. Oh, yeah. Congress in 2020, here's an article, more than two-thirds of Congress cashed a pharma campaign check, $14 million direct. Yeah, you think? Let's talk about health a little more. Scientists have discovered that finding positive meaning in life is closely related to one's health. The more purposeful one's life is, the stronger one's immune system. In 2003, Dr. Julian Bauer led a team of researchers in the UCLA Department of Psychiatry and Biobehavioral Sciences to conduct a bereavement-related disclosure intervention study. Searching and thinking about the purpose of life can not only strengthen the immune cells, but also influence other bodily functions. A strong sense of life purpose is defined as having a purpose in life and being responsible for one's own actions. Experts in psychosomatic medicine recommend it as an important factor in promoting mental health and increasing one's own resilience. A study published 3 years ago, General Psychiatry, examined seniors with an average age of 80 or over. They studied them for 7 years, during which time 16% contracted Alzheimer's disease. The study showed people with a higher sense of purpose in life have a 51% lower risk of Alzheimer's compared to those with a lower purpose of life. I mean, attitude is everything. Finally, Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, the man wrote scores of books, wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. He was imprisoned 4 times in Nazi concentration camps. He survived. During his experience, he discovered that some of his fellow prisoners were more likely to survive than others. He believed that, quote, people who feel that life is meaningless and that there is no purpose in life are usually pessimistic and disappointed. Without the belief that life has a purpose to support him, Frankl said he will soon lose the confidence to live, end quote. He founded something called Logotherapy, based on his own experience, which is to help patients understand the meaning of life, change their outlook on life, face reality, and live a positive and optimistic life, end quote. Frankl described his personal experience in the concentration camp as miserable. He forced himself to turn to another topic. Suddenly, he had a vision of giving a speech about the psychology of concentration camps. He used this method to overcome the harsh environment. He regarded all of the sufferings as history, as if he was examining history. This way, all the suffering became the subject of a psychological research. Therefore, if one can set a more ambitious goal in life, the hardships one suffers and the suffering one endures may become one's unique life experience and lead to greater brilliance, according to Viktor Frankl. Attitude is everything. In fact, let me give you somewhat of a non sequitur. I like experiments. Years ago, I studied and participated in sensory deprivation tanks. They're float tanks. I did it for years. I don't need to tell you exactly what it is, but I did it. I'm always looking for things. My latest curiosity, and it's one of the most miserable things I've ever done, is cold plunges. I started doing it a couple weeks ago. There's reams of information that says scores of benefits to this, both psychologically and physically. I'm about 2 weeks in. They say on average, if you plunge for 11 minutes in the course of a week, you know, that's the optimum. And it's miserable. It's absolutely miserable. I went in yesterday for 2.5 minutes. I'm not going in 30 degree. You know, there's some guys, they're breaking up ice. They're going in like 30 degree temperatures. No, thank you. They say to ease in slowly. I'm in about 45 to 50 degree water for 2-3 minutes. It's not fun. First thing in the morning. Ugh. I'll keep you posted on that one. 800-222-KABC. A UK woman has been arrested for praying. We'll talk about that and maybe take some more phone calls at 800-222-KABC. This is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. This segment's going to be somewhat of a short one. I do want to make mention of something that's happening next month. I've gotten a number of emails tonight on different topics at my private email address, which is frank@kmgministries.com. One in particular caught my attention. Frank, what is your take on the concept of spiritual warfare? Personally, since I surrendered my life to Christ as a former U.S. naval officer during the Vietnam conflict, by the way, Joe, welcome home. Yeah, I have been involved in deliverance and other aspects of that ministry. I really don't see how I would have survived without the knowledge of use of it. And there's other points made as well. We are doing a men's event February the 25th in L.A. I have a Christian men's ministry called KMG Ministries. We are not a church ministry. And we are calling all men to first of all, rediscover what it means to be a man. And when you talk about being a warrior and learning who Jesus was, that's a whole nother story. But we're going to meet at Angelus Temple February the 25th in the afternoon. And we just booked our last speaker, a guy that's a former Navy SEAL. We've got incredible speakers. It's an afternoon event. For information and for tickets, go to franksontag.com. I want to make sure you all know about this event. Angelus Temple sits maybe 1,500 to 2,000. We have a lot of room, but get your tickets now because we have sold a lot of tickets. Franksontag.com. Let us talk to Paul and Van Nuys. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Thank you so much. This is really quite a serendipitous moment for me in my life that you're talking. I'm 77 years old, going through depression. I've been a musician, a nightclub performer. And what you talked about, the World Economic Forum, there would have been a time I would have been terrified because during the Vietnam era, my friends got involved with a Bible cult, and they talked about the future of 666 and the Book of Revelations, all that comes through. But all that aside, I'm just what you talked about. I read that book, A Man's Search for Meaning, very much, and others. And, you know, my Dylan Thomas, when he says that poem, "Do not go gently into that good night, rage, rage against the dying light." So I'm trying to find second life and more meaning. And it's a search. But I just wanted to tell you one other thing about climate change. Also that Johnny Carson's attorney named Henry Bushkin, in that book that I read, they talked about going to England in 1976 in the summertime of England. And England had one of the worst heat waves in over 300 years. For 3 weeks of their stay, it didn't go below 100 degrees in London. Mm. So, you know, and also I read Brian Sussman's Climate Gate. And so anyway, keep up the good work. It's very, I called you once before, but maybe it's God's will that I met you here tonight.
Well,
again, thank
Paul,
you so much.
Before you go, I do not want to put you on the spot. If you have email, I would appreciate you just letting me know how I can get a hold of you. My website is franksontag.com. I want to invite you, not on the spot here, don't say yes or no, but I want to invite you to be my guest at this event on February the 25th. It's in L.A. I don't know where you live. If transportation's an issue, I could probably figure that out. But I really have this undeniable sense to get to know you, and you could be my guest and sit next to me. No hard sell. Just to be around other men that are seeking meaning in life, that are struggling. But I can't even begin to tell you.
I would be honored. That would be an honor. I'll find transportation. I'll find it. You know what? Technology is one of my worst.
Yep.
I'm so awful. I do have an email. You know, I'm embarrassed by some of it.
No, that's
okay.
Yet,
I'm a big reader, but I will find you. And
let me ask you this. I'll make it easy for you. And again, no obligation. I'm going to put you back on hold. And if you're comfortable, give Trish your phone number and I will personally call you and we'll figure this out. But again, I would love to see you where you can be around other men that are, look, we're all struggling with the same stuff. This is a dark world we're living in. But there is light in all of this. And I hope to, I will call you soon. Paul, God bless you. Speaking of a dark world, who would have ever thought you'd read this story and believe it really happened? A British woman arrested near a Birmingham, England abortion center for praying under a new protest prohibition statute said she fears her situation will not be the last in the UK. Isabel Vaughn Spruce said she has long engaged in silent prayers. This woman was arrested silently praying outside of an abortion clinic in the UK. In fact, maybe you've seen the video. Somebody called the police. They come up. What are you doing out here? She's like, I'm just standing here. And the police officer said, were you praying? And they arrested her. Isabel Spruce said she's long engaged in silent prayer outside clinics, saying dozens of women have accepted her offers of help and go on to continue their pregnancies rather than terminate them as planned. She explained how the anti-protest policy has since been used to include similar behavior at abortion centers. In September of last year, the local council in Birmingham brought in this censorship zone, Vaughn Spruce said, but they're popping up now around the country in the UK surrounding abortion centers. And they ban behavior like protesting, but it also names prayer and counseling as forms of protesting. So prayer now is a form of protesting. And a lot of the naysayers, a lot of the people, I'm spiritual but not religious, or I'm agnostic, or I'm an atheist. And when you see something in social media like people saying, you know, prayers, praying for you, although this week with the Buffalo Bill cornerback that was seriously injured, it was kind of an anomaly. Maybe we're turning the corner with prayer, but normally you hear things like, oh, I don't want to hear your prayers, or it's good thoughts. There is a power in prayer. In fact, if you come to the KMG event on February the 25th in Los Angeles, you're going to learn a lot about prayer and the power of prayer that you have. That a lot of what's going on is, it's indicative of the lack of prayer going on. I got an email about somebody asking about spiritual warfare, Joe. Very much so. I've studied spiritual warfare for years. I believe there are two realms, the spiritual realm and the realm we live in. And a lot of what is manifesting right now began in the spiritual realm. And because of a lack of time here, let me just say this. For me, maybe I'm just the only one, but I have never seen evil now doesn't even hide itself anymore. That started in the spiritual realm. And we can pray against it. There are a lot of wonderful books. Spiritual Warfare by Carl Payne. You want to lean into that one. You may have a sleepless night or two, but that's one of the best books on spiritual warfare. Carl Payne with a K, P-A-Y-N. If I can do anything for you, serve you, help you, get you more information, go to franksontag.com. Send me an email at frank@kmgministries.com. I do hope many of you will come to our event on February the 25th. We charge a few bucks. We feed you breakfast. If somehow it's a deal breaker for you, we'll work it out and get you in free. But we are a ministry. We're survived by a 501c3, so we literally exist on small donations from people like you. But this is our first event of 2023, and I'm telling you, lives will be changed. And this is war. I believe this is a battle for the hearts and souls of men and women, but I have a men's ministry for the hearts and souls of men. So if you want to find out more information about our Sons of Thunder event, go to franksontag.com. All right, Lord willing, we'll be back next Friday night for more of this. We are on every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific here on KBC. And I'm going to schedule a few guests this month as well. And so thank you for a great first New Year program. Thanks to Wayman. Thanks to Trish. Thanks to Sharon Ridden, Reardon back home, home base with her news. Sharon's a dear friend. And thank you, my KABC family. I love you immensely. We've been doing this for about 6 months. Not sure how long we'll continue to do it, but this is a passion for me. I've been in radio 36 years, and Lord willing, maybe I'll be on the radio for a few more. Have a blessed night. Drive safely if you're on the roadways at all. We've got rain in the forecast again, I think later in the week or the weekend, I think Sunday, Monday, but drive safe. By the way, all the rain, we still live in a severe drought in California. Yeah, right. All right, that's it. We're out. Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. God bless you.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.